Happy New Year.
Happy New Year back.
We made it. Let me invite you to turn to your neighbor this morning and say, you, my friend, you belong here. All right, let me go ahead and invite our youngest among us. You are dismissed, released, free to go. Thank you, Ruth. Thank you, Chris. For those of us still here, I want to invite us for this month of January, for these next several weeks, to in a sense, explore together the path of peace, a path that the Bible describes or defines as anapao in the Greek, or in the Hebrew it is Shabbat, or to you and me it would be Sabbath. Not meaning simply a day in the week, but Sabbath as a way of life. Not as a destination that we arrive at all at once, but as a journey that we travel together. Not as a rule, not as a religious obligation, but as a gift. And so not so much something we do, as much as something that we receive. Sabbath as a way of being in the world. And for today, we begin where Sabbath always begins, and that is with time. Because I think if we're honest, if I'm honest, some of us, a few of us, maybe I'm just preaching to me today, but we don't receive time as a gift. We experience it, or we feel it, as pressure. Always moving, always demanding, always running out. We feel it when the alarm goes off in the morning, and before we even get out of bed, we're already behind. Right? Thank you, snooze button. Right? We feel it when in our calendars, with all the notifications, thank you iPhone, and all the notifications and reminders, right, hounding you, screaming at you, reminding you that that forever list of things is not yet done. We feel it as we think about the years gone by, wondering if we've done enough. We feel it actually in the very language of time. Saving time, spending time, wasting time, always afraid there's never enough time, right? And so we then, time becomes this thing, something to manage. Time becomes something to manage, to command, to control, right? Something to squeeze a little bit more out of. And that pressure that we experience, once internalized, it now produces guilt. Right? That somehow if we stop, if we slow down, if we rest, right, somehow we are irresponsible, or we're lazy, or we're selfish. And so we keep going. We keep going, trying harder, doing more. And pressure, the pressure becomes the normal. The hurry becomes the habit. The noise becomes the background. Until one day we realize we are worn out, we are exhausted, we are running on empty. Some of us are there yesterday. Some of us are there today. The rest of us will be there tomorrow. Right? Worn out, running on empty. And yet it is right there. The good news is it is right there that Jesus enters in. Not when the list is done, not when the list is finished, not when we finally get it all together, not when we can prove we've done enough. But it's there Jesus enters in. Come to me, he says. Come to me. Not in accusation. It's not a disappointment, but it's an invitation. Right? Jesus says, come to me. What is linguistically, that can be translated to follow. And so it's this idea of come to me, like it's the opening of the front door, so to speak. It's the beginning of the path. Come to me. Enter in. Follow me. Both linguistically and contextually then, because contextually he invites us, right? Learn from me, right? Take my yoke upon you, if you go and read those next verses, right? It's this idea of come, follow me, enter into my way of doing life. Come, follow me. I'm inviting you in. And he says, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, right? So all of you who are worn out, who are exhausted, right, all of you who are running on empty, come to me, he says, just as you are, right here, right now, right in this moment, just as you are. Come to me, he says, and I will give you. Right, again, not something we achieve, it's something we receive. Come to me and I will give you. Not I will give you more hours in the day. Not I will give you, I will help you to manage your time better. Right? He says, come to me and I will give you. And in our translation, it says rest, anapao in the Greek. It means to stop, to cease, to rest. It can also mean to abide. Noting it's in this invitation, we hear the language of Sabbath. Sabbath, an echo of Shabbat, also meaning to stop, to cease, to rest. Right, come to me, Jesus says, and I will give you anapao. I will give you rest. Come to me, and I will give you. Come to me, all you who are worn out, exhausted, running on empty, and I will give you. I will give you Sabbath. Right, I will give you Shabbat. Noting the very first mention of Shabbat is not a command, but it is a story. It's a story we find back in the beginning of Genesis. God has created, right? He's done his creating, and so there's light and there's sky and there's land and there's sea and there's plants and there's animals and there's humankind. And then if we drop down to verse 31, God saw all that he had made and it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. And then 2 and 1, thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Noting rested here is the Hebrew word Shabbat. Right? What we think of as Sabbath. That's where we get our word Sabbath. Again, to stop, to cease, to rest. And so notice first off here, there is this pattern, there is this arrangement, there is this kind of rhythm of life that is woven deeply into the fabric of creation itself, right? That there is creating and there is Shabbat. There is working and there is Sabbath. There is producing and there is stopping. There is doing and there is resting. There is this rhythm of life that is in the fabric of creation. And then add to that, if we go to verse 3, notice this, kind of interesting. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. Noting this is the first time in the scriptures we read the word holy, what is Kadesh in Hebrew. And notice here, it is not a place. It is not a place. It's not an altar. It's not a temple. But it is time. It speaks of time. The first thing God calls holy is time. This is before the commandments, before any rules, before sin and our failure and guilt. There is a time, he says, that is holy, that is set apart, that is good, and that is blessed. It is Abraham Joshua Heschel who I think gives us some kind of insight here. He's a Jewish theologian. He writes, "Jewish ritual may be characterized as the art of significant forms in time, as architecture of time. Most of its observances, the Sabbath, the new moon, the festivals, the sabbatical year, and the jubilee year, depend on a certain hour of the day or season of the year. It is, for example, it is the evening, morning, or afternoon that brings the call to prayer. The main themes of faith lie in the realm of time. We remember the day of the Exodus from Egypt, the day when Israel stood at Sinai, and our messianic hope is the expectation of a day of the end of days. The Sabbaths are our great cathedrals." And then he goes on and he says this. He says, "The meaning of the Sabbath," right, Shabbat, anapao, right, stopping, ceasing, resting, "is to celebrate time rather than space. 6 days a week, we live under the tyranny of things of space. On the Sabbath, we try to become attuned to holiness in time. It is a day on which we are called upon to share in what is eternal in time, to turn from the results of creation to the mystery of creation, from the world of creation to the creation of the world." And this is where I want to land today, because this is a very different way of living. Because I think for most of us, if not all of us, we have been conditioned in some way. We have been conditioned to view time through a lens of work, of productivity, that which can be measured. We have been shaped and formed in a world of space, right? Managing stuff, things to control, expectations to satisfy. That is the world that we live in, day after day after day. And yet here is Sabbath. Sabbath steps in and says, wait, 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 hold on a moment. Just hang on. Time is holy. Belongs to God. Not just church time, right? But all of life, right? Our days, our weeks, our months, our years. Sabbath is God saying that you do not have to earn your place here. Tells us, reminds us, your value is not measured by what you produce. Your worth is not determined by what you get done. Your faithfulness is not proven by your exhaustion. Sabbath is God saying, you already belong. You are already more than enough. And so with that, I am going to practice what I preach. And I'm going to stop. Not forever, just for now. And I want to invite us for the next minutes to sit together as we often do in the stillness. Nothing to do, nothing to figure out, nothing to solve. but to sit in the stillness together and to listen. And to maybe just notice what it is that is stirring. Maybe what it is that is being named, what it is that is being offered. And with that, I want to offer two questions. But for today, these aren't questions to be answered. Think of this as an invitation to listen. And then Dan and the team, when you're ready, I'll let you decide when it's time to come up. And so I want to invite us to sit in this kind of Sabbath space together. Reminding yourself, one another, that you belong, that you are more than enough. And it is Sabbath that reminds us of that. That it's not the work, it's not what you produce. Right? Time is holy. And so where in your life might God be inviting you? Where in my life might God be inviting me to receive time as a gift rather than something to manage or control? And then with that, as I sit in the stillness, what invitation toward rest or stopping do I sense the Spirit offering me today? Come to me, Jesus says, all you who are weary and burdened, and I, he says, will give you rest.